Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with organist Peter Richard Conti, who plays the Grand Court Wanamaker Organ at Macy's, and flugelhornist Andrew Ennis to talk about the music on their new CD, My Heart at Thy Sweet Voice. At the start, I asked Andrew about the flugelhorn, what it is, and how he came to play it.
Well, the flugelhorn is a member of the brass family. It's a cousin of the trumpet. It plays like a trumpet, but yet it has the sound of a very, very thick French horn. I came to play it. A teacher of mine at school had a flugelhorn that he wasn't using, and I needed a flugelhorn at the time, and it was kind of fortuitous that, you know, he was selling his, and I was able to acquire it, and then I just started playing and trying to get around the instrument and figure out how to make it tick, and eventually I fell in love with playing the instrument, and now we made this amazing music together.
Why is it not used more often, you think? And where do you find it used mostly?
Well, the flugelhorn is mostly associated with jazz, at least in my experience. Not a lot of people use it classically, and, you know, the idea of flugelhorn and organ is different. You know, most people want to do trumpet and organ because the trumpet is brilliant, and the organ itself is a very powerful instrument, and so usually they want to pair the brilliance of the trumpet with the organ. But the mellowness of the Wanamaker organ and the singing quality that it produces really fit with the flugelhorn, and that's why we decided to make a CD with flugelhorn organ rather than trumpet and organ.
Is there repertoire for trumpet and organ?
There's plenty of repertoire for trumpet and organ. There's not much written, if anything, for flugelhorn and organ that I know of, but we've done our own arrangements. All the arrangements on the CD are either Andrew's or mine, and we've created this whole other repertoire that we're enjoying.
And the CD is about two-thirds opera arias?
It is. It's about two-thirds opera arias, everybody's favorite opera arias, and some that are sort of obscure. There's an Ave Maria from Otello, Verdi, that is hardly ever done as a solo thing, but it's absolutely stunning. Andrew did the arrangement, and it's really haunting.
So I'd love to talk about how you arrange for flugelhorn and organ. Peter, we've talked about the fact that the organ can be a one-man orchestra. You can make all of the sounds. So how do you approach a duo like this when you are orchestrating? And when you are, let's say, in an opera aria, if the flugelhorn takes the solo part, the vocal part originally, and you have the orchestral part, do you play around with the instrumentation at all? Because I know you said that the Wanamaker organ has strings and woodwinds, or the stops are marked that. How much do you play with it?
Yeah, for the most part, Andrew does take the original solo line, the solo singer's line, and I'm working as the orchestra, and I try to be faithful to the orchestral score whenever I can. So if there's a clarinet solo that comes against the singer, I'll make sure that happens on a clarinet stop. And Andrew's arrangements are really great, the way he arranged us in Dorma. I know what's supposed to be happening in the orchestral score. And of course, there's a sweet range of the flugel.
Yeah, the flugelhorn has kind of a money range, I guess you could call it, from like my concert B flat to like concert G flat above the staff is probably like my sweet range. And we found that if we stay kind of within those parameters, obviously, you know, you can push the limit, it doesn't matter, but if you write specifically in those ranges, you know, the flugelhorn and the organ can kind of mesh around each other. And, you know, especially with writing for the flugelhorn and writing for, you know, this duo in general, the Wanamaker organ has so many other voices, and we just play around each other. It's two soloists spinning phrases, and the way that we write is so that, you know, we're constantly bouncing off of each other. Like one of the pieces that we do, the Gounod's Funeral March for a Marionette, somebody plays a short phrase, next person plays another phrase. We constantly bounce back and forth, doing different voices. You know, I can't, you know, pick up another horn in 2 seconds, but he can, you know, jump to another manual and play a saxophone or a clarinet or something. And, you know, that's how we kind of write for ourselves. You know, that's for the fun, those fun pieces, especially like in the Shepherd's Hay, the Granger. You know, there's so much cute things happening in the organ accompaniment. It's just, it's fabulous. But the opera arias are definitely, they're harder because you want to write so that we play off of each other, but somebody does have to keep the integrity of the tune. And that's where, you know, and definitely in Nessun Dorma, and even in My Heart at Thy Sweet Voice, the flugelhorn is taking most of the melody line. But for a lot of the other pieces that we do, it is two soloists bouncing off of each other.
Well, I notice in the title track, there is this almost dialogue, even though it's an opera aria, there's a dialogue between the two of you.
Yeah,
Peter.
Andrew has the most amazing, I'm going to talk about you now, the most amazing breath control. So he can spin three phrases under one breath. I don't know how you do it, but he can sneak in under my solo line, and I just taper my line, and he's there. All of a sudden, you hear the live flugelhorn coming away from one of my solo soft tubas or something, and it's just, it's almost a seamless bridge. The other cool thing about the flugel, the way Andrew plays it anyway, is that it can be the most mellow, caressing sound, or it can be like a big, broad trumpet. In the Procession of the Nobles, Rimsky-Korsakov, I'm using a very, very big tuba on very high-pressure wind against his flugel, and you'd swear that they're equally balanced, and yet I can also, he makes the same sound as one of my softest, most delicate, you know, quiet reeds. So it's got a very, very versatile dynamic range under his amazing musicality.
So if you were describing the range of music on this CD?
It's pretty much everything. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, sit down in front of a fireplace and enjoy the warmth of this very, very intimate music, My Heart at Thy Sweet Voice, and this Ave Maria we talked about, the Verdi from Otello, and there's just any number of pieces on the recording that are very intimate. But then there's Procession of the Nobles and the very, very playful Funeral March of a Marionette of Gounod, and just things that you just smile. The Shepherd's Hay of Granger, which is Andrew's arrangement, is fiendishly difficult for the organist, I might add, but it's really fun. He was pretty nasty to me, actually, with that. But it was really fun to put together. And you just smile when you hear it. It's so cute, you know.
Why is it so difficult?
He gave me some pedal lines that should not have been given to an organist. But, you know, what could you do? We like to, you know, niggle each other with things like that. So it's fun.
And the Funeral March for the Marionette, that's the Hitchcock theme, isn't it?
It is. It was made popular in Alfred Hitchcock. And we just, like Andrew said, we bounced the little tune back and forth by phrase and twisted around. And it really comes out. It's adorable. It's just adorable.
So what was the biggest challenge in arranging? We talked about how differently you approach different instruments, and perhaps a wind instrument and the organ. And does that figure into how you arrange?
Absolutely. I find that playing with an organist is different from anything else. Sometimes I don't like to pop out of the texture. Sometimes I like to arrange a passage where I actually become part of the organ. And with the Wanamaker organ, I can do that. There's parts of Clair de Lune, the Debussy Clair de Lune, where you'd swear that there's just another stop going on in the organ, and I can use that ability with the Wanamaker organ to one phrase, I'm there but yet not there, and then all of a sudden it's popping out of the texture and I'm becoming a soloist again. And also in terms of, you know, when you're playing musically, the organ can either be a straight toned instrument, or it can, you know, what we call celeste, or it uses vibrato, or it beats. And sometimes, you know, as a wind instrument, you can play straight tone, you know, with no vibrato, or you can play with vibrato, and that really allows a greater dynamic of musicality, because you can just all of a sudden go away into the texture and then come out of the texture. Yeah, so the way you approach playing with the organ is so different than what I've ever experienced before.
What was the biggest challenge in putting these two instruments together?
I would say it was the balance of the two instruments. We had to find ways to let the organ, you know, roar when it wanted to as an accompanying instrument, but also let the flugel ride above that. And that's partly due, in the CD, it was done with mixing, post-recording. But in a live performance, like we do on the road all the time, we just work out balances so that my registration is never encroaching on the tune if Andrew's doing a solo bit. We just work it out that it's just hopefully beautifully balanced for the audience.
So this is a CD of music that a lot of people will recognize performed with different instrumentation. From your experience performing it, have you gotten different insights into the music because of the different instruments?
Yeah, I'd say that we've been on the road, play some of these. We've done a couple of duo concerts, and we're doing a lot more this coming season, actually, all over the country, actually. And folks hear these pieces that they recognize, like you say, Nessun Dorma of Puccini, but they never heard it quite like this. And I mean, it does bring a new light to the piece. I mean, hearing a tenor sing it is quite stunning. But hearing Andrew spin these amazing phrases is also, in its own way, really, really thrilling and very moving.
Yeah, and especially, you know, the Requiem Mass, the Durafle Requiem, some of these pieces that we do are actually choral transcriptions from larger works, and the Pie Jesu in particular is a mezzo-soprano solo in the middle of a Mass. So, you know, if you're at Mass in church and you're hearing this Requiem being done, usually you're going to hear a mezzo-soprano. But instead, on this CD, you're hearing the flugelhorn, and somehow, when you're listening to it, you forget that the words are supposed to be there, and it has this different quality to it. You know, I'm never going to say that I should overshadow a singer, but something happens when you hear just the tone of a wind instrument playing this beautifully lyrical line that only Murray Sturifley could write. Yeah, something happens different to the piece of music.
Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.